This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL, headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. Football Nation, you know what it is. It's all football all the time. Bill Enright here with Todd DeVries. It is week 17 of the NFL, the last week of the 2012 regular season. Can't believe we're already at this point in the year. Hope everyone out there had a great Christmas. Todd, how you doing? How was your holiday?
Oh, Bill, it was a tiring 48-hour whirlwind.
So you don't get a lot of traveling?
No, actually, we bagged the travel.
Okay.
Because it was such a crazy Christmas. You know, I have 8-year-old twins, Bill.
Right.
So Christmas morning is insane. I'll tell the story later in the show, but let's just put it this way. My wife and I were up till 3 in the morning Christmas Eve, getting stuff ready. And guess what time the kids knocked on my door?
5 o'clock.
3:40.
Get out of here. Nope. What, did they have an alarm set?
Nope. It was unbelievable.
So you were done bringing the presents down at 3:30, and then you get a knock on your door at 3:45?
Yeah.
Did you tell them to go back to sleep? Kids, Santa didn't come yet.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it.
Aw, you're such a good dad.
My wife wouldn't get out of bed. Long story short, I slept like 6 hours on Christmas Day.
Oh, my gosh.
Crazy. See, this is what you look forward to, Bill, when you have kids someday.
Now, they're 8 years old. They still believe in Santa, right?
Borderline, baby.
When does that stop?
That's the whole reason we were up till 3, Bill, is that they were, you know, they're really excited. They usually go to bed around 9:30 on a regular, you know, night. But they were up till 10:30 or 11, you know. Christmas Eve, we're all fired
excited.
Up.
You're right.
So, you know, I caught them hiding walkie-talkies under their pillows.
Oh my God, that's great.
Okay, so they were trying to, you know, they were trying, and then they, of course, my kids, they're all tech savvy, right? So they have these old iPhones that we have, my wife and I had. So they were going to try to set up a video camera, like they wanted to hold the whole, you know, see if it's really true, the same thing. Bottom line is, it was so we had to wait till like 12:30 or 1 to even get started because we had to make sure they were asleep.
Right, of course.
You know what I mean?
That's great, man. That's hilarious.
So anyway, I'm well rested now, Bill. Ready, fired up for a little football.
Glad to hear that. Yeah, Kevin and I don't have any kids. Kevin, how was your Christmas?
It was good. I got an early Christmas present on Sunday.
What is that?
I am in the fantasy football championship for the Patriots League here at work.
Holla for dollars.
Thank goodness for the Bears defense and the massive comeback that I was down like 70 points going into the 4 o'clock wave.
Now, Kevin, there was a time during this season where you were a little worried about this team, correct?
Yeah, well, rightfully so. I finished 6-8 and got the sixth seed. So rightfully so, and now I'm in the championship.
You're like the Giants from last year.
Yeah, I caught lightning in a bottle, and all of a sudden I toppled two teams that were, you know, finished way ahead of me in the standings, and now I think I have like the three seed or something like that that I'm playing.
So we're in week 17, and your championship is this.
Yeah,
week.
Which I don't like, but
that's a big no-no.
But it is what it is. I didn't set up the league. I didn't have a say in that. So
if you listen to our Tuesday show, the Fantasy Football Champ Show, we were very adamant about not having your championship in week 17. We think it's ridiculous. Week 16 is the ideal time to have your fantasy football championship. But you know what? Not everyone listens to us. So if you do have any fantasy questions throughout the show, give us a call. 508-298-0398. You can also email us.
I got to play my schedule, Bill. I just got to do, you know, I got to try to beat each team that's put in front of me, and so far I've done that. So I was down. I had the Bears defense, Ray Rice, and Knowshon Moreno come up huge.
Now here's the reason why we don't like the Week 17 championship is, do you have any players maybe from the Falcons, maybe from the Broncos, that are going to rest their starters?
I'm going to get semi-fortunate because I don't have any Falcons on this team.
Okay.
And the opponent that I'm playing has Matt Ryan as his quarterback.
Oh,
wow.
I have Cam Newton, so, and Newton's playing, I think, New Orleans,
Saints.
Who
it's a great matchup.
Is a tasty matchup. So,
yeah,
I'd say a couple of the guys I'm worried about on my end are probably, I don't know, I'd say like Ray Rice maybe. He might get a limited somewhat.
Right.
I think Denver's still going to try to play to win somewhat.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
So I got Knowshon Moreno. I think he's going to get a fair amount of touches.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, my team should be okay, and I should be able to work around it. But his, you know, obviously stud quarterback, Matt Ryan, is probably not going to even play. So that's a big plus for me.
Now, Todd, did you have – you're like me where we have our championships in Week 16.
All done.
How did Sunday go for you?
Some good, some bad. You know, okay. Took care of business in one league, lost in another. How about you?
All right. I smashed in my Dynasty League. The average score is like 130, 140. Not only did my opponent not break 100, but I got 230, which was the highest points of the year. Dez Bryant and Tony Romo went bonkers.
I was just
going
to say, you must have had Dez Bryant on your team.
Oh, man, that's Dynasty, Todd. So I'll have him for his career. I'm glad to see. Like, it seems like he's turned his page. He got a little bit more mature this season.
He's still going to give you headaches throughout his career.
You know, I realize that, but when I'll take this type of production. Right.
I mean, when he's at his best, he's second to Megatron in the league. He's just so talented.
I agree.
So talented, but you're going to deal with, you know, if you have him on your dynasty team, which means you get to keep him every year,
yep.
You're going to have those spells, you know, those swoons in October, November, where he disappears or he does something stupid off the field. Like, you know, that's what he's going to be. But when he's on, and he is on right now, even with that hand, remember it was 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
They were talking about him just, you know,
going on IR.
Season. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure hasn't been hampering
now,
him too much.
Here we are in week 17, and the Cowboys, if they win, they're in for the playoffs.
Big game. We'll talk about that later in the show.
Absolutely. So this is it. This is the last time we'll see all 32 NFL teams in action. Luckily, we'll still be able to see the good NFL teams come playoff time, which is, you know, really only 10 days away at this point. New England Patriots obviously already clinched a playoff spot, NFC East championship, NFC East champions. AFC. What did I say? NFC?
NFC.
Yeah. You know why? Because the NFC, and we were talking about the Cowboys, and that is still the only conference that's still up in the air. The only division that's still up in the air, the NFC East. But the AFC East, Patriots, what, they clinched it a couple weeks ago. Now they're playing the Miami Dolphins. We'll preview that game in just a bit. We'll also go over the NFL matchups here in Week 17, give an updated look at the playoff picture. Everything's pretty clear at this point, except for, there you go, that NFC East and that NFC last wild card spot. We'll also have the last installment. We've been doing it every week, guys. The last installment of the Football Nation regular season power rankings. We'll go over the 10 best teams and the 5 worst teams in the NFL. Plus our friend Kerry Byrne from coldhardfootballfacts.com will join us a bit later in the to go an in-depth look at some of the strengths and weaknesses of the top teams set to make a run for the Super Bowl.
I wonder if Kerry got that puppy he was asking Santa for.
No, I don't know. We might have to play that clip when he comes back on.
We're going to have to ask him.
Yeah. All right, so what do you say we preview this New England-Miami game? Should be a barn burner on Sunday.
Hey, but you know what? Let's start it off like
life
this.
Life is good when you're a Patriots fan.
Woo-wee!
It's even better when they're winning.
Brady, back to throw. Looks, fires, caught, touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
It's time for Bill and Todd to break down the Pats on Football Nation.
All right, Patriots-Dolphins preview. Todd, what were we going to say?
I didn't expect Kevin to be on the ball with the
Patriots. Oh, good retort. Good retort. That's
why would that ever
retort.
Happen?
You know, usually, Bill, you set it up. You set up the segment.
And then he has to wait half an hour
And
to
then
get
there's
these,
like that 10 seconds of awkward silence
I'm
where we wait
you.
For Kevin to, you know.
Where I wake up.
Yeah, take the pretzels out of his
I'm
mouth.
Feeling spry this week, boys. Short week.
All I was going to say was, and this includes you too, Kevin, last week we had a healthy debate about the Patriots and whether they were going to play their starters last week or
right.
You know, how long they'd play their starters because we were only talking about them trying to catch the Broncos, if you remember.
Yep, that's
we
right.
We kind of put Houston out of the mix. We kind of figured Houston was going to, you know, have that one seed or maybe at worst two locked up. But, hey, Houston loses to the Vikings last week. They get smashed by the Vikings. Now, the Patriots just need one of two teams to lose. Now, I still think the Broncos are going to crush the Chiefs, okay?
The Chiefs.
Yes.
But that Texans-Colts game is kind of interesting. Now, the Colts, correct me if I'm wrong, the Colts don't have anything to play for. They're locked into the five.
Right. They have that five seed. But their coach, Chuck Pagano, is likely back on the sidelines for the first time this year.
And it's in Indy.
Right.
I tell you what, suddenly, you know, the Patriots got to be looking hard at that game, Kevin. Because if the Colts pull off the upset there, the Patriots have a bye.
Now, here was my problem with your arguments last week where you said the Patriots should rest their starters in, you know, in basically in the third or fourth quarter if they were blowing out the Jaguars. The game was a lot closer than we all expected. But what did I say? I said, we don't know that the Broncos, we were focusing on the Broncos, we don't know if the Broncos are going to win. The Browns could have beat Denver. But what happened was the Vikings beat the Texans. So now, basically, my argument that you never know what's going to happen on Sunday, and you can't rest your starters, and the only way to really rest your team and get ready for the playoff run is to have that first-round bye if you want to give everyone a chance to rest up. And that's kind of what I was going for last week, and you guys were telling me, no, that's crazy.
No, I mean, we understood your argument. I'm just saying.
You just didn't agree with it.
No, I didn't agree with it. And, if you asked me this week, I would stand by my guns and say I would rather not see Rob Gronkowski, Wes Welker, and Aaron Hernandez play. I think that they can beat him without him, and that's just my own personal opinion.
That's the other side of the argument there, Bill, is the Patriots were lining up against the Jags and the Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins is at home at 4:30. The Miami Dolphins coming up from down south for a 4:30 game up in New England in December,
I just think the Dolphins are already probably looking forward to playing golf, too.
They don't want anything to do with that game. So I think that what we were trying to say, Kevin and I last week, was they could probably win without – we said limit Wes Welker. Keep Gronk out, limit Wes Welker, and still get away with the win. I think I said it was going to be 27-10 was my score.
Yeah, you were close. Yeah. You were the closest.
Yeah, I said 30-16, and it was 23-16, so I was a touchdown.
I guess I mean, 42-10.
Yeah,
I was way off.
You were off. But, they kind of slept through the game, and it was closer than all of us thought.
Yeah.
But, I think that they can do it again this week, Kevin. I think they can I think they're going to have their ears perked up a little bit. They're going to know they're going to know already what happened in that Houston game.
Yes. And I agree with Bill. I agreed with Bill last week from the perspective that I thought that Bill would do what, he ended up doing, which was playing all of them. And I think you'll see them this week a pretty healthy amount, at least at the start and in the first half. And, depending on where they are in the game, will probably dictate when they come out, if they come out at all. But if it was just my personal opinion, if you put me in charge of managing that type of thing for the team, I just have a differing viewpoint.
Well,
and that's
Kevin,
all I was saying.
Here's the deal. If the Texans take care of the Colts at 1 o'clock, I think you and I are in the same mindset as we were last week. Because
I agree.
I don't think Denver has any chance of losing.
No, I think they have zero chance pretty much.
However,
what if the Broncos and the Texans both lose?
Oh, that'd be crazy.
Do the Patriots play their starters? Do you guys want to see, or do you think the Patriots play their starters the whole game?
The Broncos play at the same time as the Patriots, so they won't know that.
Oh, at 4 o'clock.
They both play at 4 o'clock.
Would be nuts. I mean, if that happened.
Yeah.
But if that does happen, you'd want to see the starters in the whole game.
I guess so. I mean, depending on the situation of, far ahead they
Bill,
were.
If the tech, all thing. The Patriots need is one of those two teams to lose. They just need one of them.
But if both of them lose, they clinch home field.
Yeah, which would be insane.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it would be. I don't see that happening.
No, I just see, being around here every day, and I get the injury report in my inbox at, 4 o'clock every day, and you see 20 names, 15 names. And then, watching these guys actually play in person and gimp around and, there was one play, I forget who it was, I think it might have been Deion Branch, where Wes Welker got tackled in this Jacksonville game, and literally Branch went over and picked him up off, peeled him off the turf.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, he can barely even get up at this point.
Is Brady on the injury report every week?
He usually is on it with, shoulder probable, something like that.
And so of those 20 names, how many of them do you really think are battling injuries?
I think they all have some sort of ailment, but probably only half of them are significant that would cost them, missing time. But the ones that I worry about, Bill, are the guys like Welker and Hernandez and Gronk that are, that get contact fairly often. And like a Brandon Spikes, for example, he throws himself, coming bull rushing the center of the line every other play, it seems, and kind of flings his body into awkward positions. And you wonder, how does that guy even stay on the field to begin with? It's those guys, those impact skill position guys that I worry about, that, especially smaller guys like Welker.
Yeah.
And I think you can make the argument too, Bill, and I think you'd agree with me, even from a fantasy perspective, Hernandez is pretty fragile. He's had a lot of little dings and dents that have caused him to miss time.
Yeah.
And I'd just like to see those guys get some, if they're not going to get the bye, which I still think, odds are, stacked up against them in terms of getting it. I think they're a little better now, obviously, because I think you have double, you know, you literally have double the chance, if not better,
right?
Because, you know, Houston's on the road, whereas Denver's at home, and they're playing a far better team in the Colts. But with that said, I think the most important aspect of this run for this team is health right now. I just think they're really struggling with that.
Well, Rob Gronkowski is not even medically cleared to play yet. I mean, he's been practicing. We know that.
Yes, that is correct.
But he's not even cleared by the medical staff, by the team doctors or trainers, to get on the field on Sunday.
And I hope he doesn't play.
I don't think he's going to play this weekend. No way.
I think most of us, you know, fans around here are, you know, I think I'm in the majority hoping that they just kind of, you know, give him another week on the shelf. If they get the bye, great. That buys him even more time, and maybe he can get into, like, a padded practice because he's really only lined up in shells.
Right.
So he hasn't done anything contact-wise. I think he's just been running around and on the treadmill and all that type of stuff. But like we said, Bill, when he went down, I think we had a debate on the show about, you know, maybe is this sort of a blessing in disguise because he had the hip issue and he had the back issue.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And when you watched him play and run around, he just didn't have that explosion anymore.
Right.
And he was kind of gimping and, you know, limping back to the huddle. And we thought, well, maybe, you know, he's going to be rehabbing this arm and maybe that'll give him some time off his feet and maybe his back and his hip will heal up a little bit. So, you know, he could come back. And I think there's no question about it. If he does come back in the playoffs here, I think you'll see a heck of a lot more out of him than you did, like, say, in the Super Bowl last year where he was really, really struggling. So I think when he does come back, if he does come back, he'll be much more of a major factor than he was last year when he came back from the injury.
Listen, regardless of his back and hip ailments, he still had seven touchdowns in four games. Two of those four games, he had over 130 yards.
I think there
was. So it wasn't like it was affecting his performance too much.
No, there was a remarkable stat, actually, Bill, that was tweeted at us earlier in the week here at Patriots.com radio that I think he has 10 touchdown receptions on the season.
That is correct.
Which is still first among tight ends, and he's only played 10 out of the 16 games.
Right.
You know? I mean, that's going to be.
He caught seven in those last four games.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a remarkable stat that you're leading your position in touchdowns, and you're literally playing like five or six less games than everybody else.
Now, when he comes back for the playoffs, we're all assuming that he's going to be back for the playoffs. Do the Patriots' offense, are they the most unstoppable force out of any playoff team?
In terms of offensively?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
just the he doesn't play defense.
No, I think I would agree with that. Although there's one team, I think the Packers are really starting around in the form offensively.
Yeah, they are.
They're putting up a lot of points. I think they hung like 55 on Tennessee last week,
yep.
I think.
Right.
So that's an offense, you know. I think Randall Cobb's a little nicked up, if I read this week. I'm not sure what his status is going to be. But if you have a healthy Greg Jennings, a healthy Randall Cobb, and a healthy Jordy Nelson, I mean, look out with that team throwing the ball around. So that's another one that I would say is at least in the conversation. But I think I agree with you and Todd that the Patriots would probably be the best offensive machine with a healthy, you know, healthy repertoire.
Because we really have not seen Hernandez and Gronk healthy on the field at the same time.
No, I agree with you, Bill.
And that's ridiculous.
Great point.
But with all these other injuries, Brandon Lloyd stepped up and played nicely the last couple
right.
of weeks.
Yep.
So they got Lloyd and Welker on the outside. You get the double tight ends. You got a nice set of running backs. Tom Brady, oh, by the way. It's hard to beat, you know. The Packers, yeah, they have the wide receiver threats. They, you know, the running backs, although Ryan Grant came out of nowhere.
No, let's be honest. Their running game is awful.
Yeah, yeah. But he, you know, and they have no tight ends unless you like JerMichael Finley. Like, we all know Bill loves JerMichael Finley.
Yeah.
So I would give the edge to the Patriots. Now, that was my, you know, my preseason Super Bowl prediction. So I'd
Packers,
like
Patriots?
To see that. I'd like to see that game.
Hmm. We'll get into
who'd
the
you
Super
have,
Bowl
Bill,
prediction.
Who'd you have, Carolina?
Forget Panthers in New England.
There you go.
I was half right, almost. If the Patriots make the Super Bowl, I was half right, which is not that bad. Todd, you can be 100% right, which is great.
We'll see. We shall see. So you want to talk about the Dolphins? Are we just going to overlook the Dolphins completely here?
Well, listen, here we are. The Patriots are 11-4. Dolphins are 7-8. Dolphins are actually second in the AFC East. What do you guys think about that? Ryan Tannehill led the Dolphins to second place in the AFC East. See you later, Mark Sanchez. See you later, Ryan Fitzpatrick. You guys can take a seat. Other than Tom Brady, Ryan Tannehill led Miami Dolphins are the second best team in the AFC East. You guys agree?
Well, record-wise, they are.
Yeah, the numbers are what they are.
The numbers are what they are.
I thought coming into the year, I mean, I was wrong. I wasn't on the Jets wagon, but I thought Buffalo would be far better than they ended up being.
I think they were the biggest disappointment in this division, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah,
because you
seven.
Had to think, with a veteran head coach like Chan Gailey, a veteran quarterback like Ryan Fitzpatrick, and they signed Mario Williams, their defense was supposed to be a lot better.
They actually signed two pass-rushing DNs with Williams and Mark Anderson, who was a 10-sack guy for New England last year.
Right.
And, you know, with that, with the design in mind, you know, the way to beat Tom Brady is to get him off the spot and move him around.
Of course. And that didn't happen.
No, but now you have, or in theory, you had two guys that were supposed to be able to do that coming from each side. And it just didn't pan out for those guys.
No, it didn't.
That's an understatement. Didn't pan out. I mean, the points against, it was insane for the Bills. Did they give up the most points in the league? Second most?
They might have. The Raiders might have given up the most.
Second most. I'm
Who's the
at
most?
It right now. Titans, 451.
Oh, the Titans. God.
Buffalo, 426. Wow.
That's crazy. So the Patriots have the number one offense in the league. We know that. 35 points per game. They're first in the league with that. The Dolphins' offense, 19 points per game. That's 25th in the NFL. You know, I kind of made a joke about Ryan Tannehill leading the Dolphins to second place in the AFC East. But do we really think that he is going to take this team over the next couple of years?
Nope.
You know, no?
Nope. I'm not a believer.
Not a believer in Tannehill. Not at all.
Nope. He'll be a nice average quarterback.
I'm not a believer at all. I thought, and I've been on record as saying that I thought that for this team this year that Matt Moore would have been better. And I thought he'd give him a better chance to win some games.
You know, I think it's a shame because Andrew Luck was drafted first, RG3 drafted second, and then Tannehill, what was he, seventh or eighth?
Yes. Yeah,
and then you look at a guy like Russell Wilson drafted in the third round, and he might be in the same kind of argument with Luck and RG3 in the next 10 years, Ryan Tannehill.
There's been talk with Wilson emerging the last month or so that this quarterback class is up there with some of the great classes of all time now.
Right.
You know, he really helped establish this class, and it's just sad that, you know, the poor Dolphins just can't catch a break, it seems. They've been looking for a quarterback for a while.
I mean, even Brandon Weeden, who was drafted in the first round, but what was he, 22nd or 24th, he's having a better year than Tannehill.
A lot of rookies, guys. I mean, Nick Foles has, you know, had his ups and downs, but he's a rookie. He's played a bunch this year.
Right.
Like you just said, your buddy there, who am I forgetting? There's one other guy we're forgetting.
Russell Wilson, Brandon Weeden, Andrew Luck, RG3, Ryan Tannehill, 5. Nick Foles would be 6.
Who
else you got?
I guess not. Okay.
No, that's it.
Yeah, Weeden, I guess that was the other one I was thinking you were just mentioning. Yeah. A lot of rookies, man. That's a lot of rookies thrown right into the fire.
Three of them are leading their teams to the playoffs.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Now, the Dolphins haven't drafted a quarterback in the first round since Dan Marino. They decided to do it this year on Ryan Tannehill.
Not to get us off.
Who was a wide receiver in college for the most part.
Yeah, Tannehill was.
Like, I just don't understand. How does that make sense?
Yeah. But, hey, people are always overdraft quarterbacks, and you're going to see a massive overdrafting of quarterbacks this year because all the guys coming out this year are not even close to the caliber of a Luck or an RG3. So you're hoping for a Russell Wilson type.
Right.
And honestly, if Russell Wilson was 6'2" instead of 5'11", he would have been a first-round draft pick too. You know? He's one of those guys that they just didn't draft because of his height.
Right.
You know, because he had everything else. Bill, you and I do a lot of draft stuff around, you know, the NFL draft. You were actually at the draft last year. We did a lot of coverage. So we liked Russell Wilson, but we were just like, well, is he going to get a chance? You know? And a lot of the, you know, a lot of this is where these guys land.
Right.
You know? We'll put off the draft talk till later. But I don't know, Bill. I think just to get back to this game here, I think the Patriots do very similar to last week. I think that they probably have a better first half than last week, where they were pretty awful. And I think they get out to a nice lead and they coast in this game. I can't see them losing this game to the Dolphins.
Going into the Jacksonville game, Brady had 6 interceptions. He finished with 2 against the Jaguars. 25% of his interceptions on the year came in that one game.
Yeah.
And I think he had a fumble. Did he fumble too?
I don't remember.
I didn't think so. I'd have to look it up.
They looked awful in the first half.
Yeah.
Awful.
I don't know. They're at home. It's a 4:30 start in the dark in New England. Like Kevin said, does Miami really care at all about this?
I don't think so.
You got a rookie who's not used to playing, you know, in a long season
weather.
Like this.
Yeah.
You know, I think that they're just going to try to get out of Dodge. They played last week, the Dolphins. Reggie Bush had, what, 3 touchdowns?
Yes, he did. Best game of the year, but he's playing for a contract. We know that.
Yeah, that's true. But I think my point is that Miami had a pretty decent game for them last
right.
week. Granted, they played the Bills.
Right.
So they're coming off of a decent game. I can't see them playing 2 good games in a row. And this one being on the road at the Patriots, you know, in the evening. So I think that the Patriots win this one handily. And, you know, it's all going to depend upon that Colts-Texans game, Bill. Mm. But if the Texans take care of business, maybe it'll be this game will be a little closer. You might see them limit the Welkers and the Hernandezes of the world. If the Colts pull off that upset at 1 o'clock, I think they're going to go guns blazing if they crush the Dolphins.
Well, the last time these two teams met, it was Week 13. 23-16 was the final score.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that close this time around.
You think it'll be more of a blowout?
I think so. Again, I kind of want to know what this – I think it hinges upon that early game a little bit.
Even with your philosophy of the Patriots possibly resting their starters in the second half.
Bill, if the Colts beat the Texans, they are not resting anybody, the Patriots, unless they get a huge lead.
Right. Okay.
I mean, they were given a gift last week. I don't know why we overlooked the Vikings beating the Texans like we did. But we did, and they're given a gift. And now, you know, the Texans, and we've talked about it, we aren't believers in the Texans. Are we? I'm not.
Not anymore. Kind of, they showed
some talked about
of their
defense
vulnerabilities.
Leading up to their game in Foxborough, we talked about how their defense was overrated.
Right.
And they've proven to be overrated. We talked about it. Week 12, Stafford on Thanksgiving. Crushed. I mean, he lit them up.
They should have won that game.
441 passing yards.
Right.
The Jaguars lit him up.
Chad Henne.
Yeah.
Pass the Henne.
Pass the Henne. Pass the Henne. So Henne, I don't know. We kind of saw this come with the Texans. I just don't think that they're as good as everyone thinks. And the problem with the Texan guys is when they get behind, they don't have the capability to come back.
Right. Their offense is not explosive.
No, it's not. And Aaron Foster had the irregular heartbeat. I'm not sure if that has anything to if that's anything to worry about this week or not, Bill. Do we have any status update on Aaron Foster?
You know, I don't know if that's going to affect his long-term availability for the playoffs. I'm not sure.
They didn't seem to make it sound like a big deal. They said he could come back in if they needed him. But the bottom line is, you know, if the Patriots get down big like they did against the 49ers, or if the Broncos get down big, like they have gotten down big early in the season, they do have the ability to come back, you know, with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Texans don't have that ability.
Aaron Foster practiced all week. He's apparently fine.
Yeah, I think he'll be okay.
Yeah.
So that's the one, man. All the Patriots fans should be keeping a close eye on that 1 o'clock game in the Dome in Indianapolis.
All right, well, let's ask the Patriot fans, what do you guys want to see? Do you want to see the Texans lose? Do you want to see the Broncos lose? Do you think the Patriots can get a bye for the first round of playoffs? Give us a call, 508-298-0398, or you can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Your telephone calls and more NFL talk up next here on Football Nation.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation. We are balling very hard here in Week 17 of the NFL season. I can't believe this is the last week we'll get all 32 teams in action. Now, 10 of the 12 playoff spots already locked up. 5 teams in the NFC fighting for those remaining 2 playoff spots, 3 of which in the NFC East, Dallas Cowboys, Washington Redskins, New York Giants. The other 2, Todd, they're in the NFC North with the Bears and the Vikings. So those only 2 spots, I'm surprised that here in Week 17, usually it's a little bit more open by this time of year.
Well, there's certainly drama in the NFC as far as getting into the playoffs, as you just mentioned. There's a lot of key games we're gonna cover here in a minute. The AFC is where everything's locked up, you know, as far as getting in is concerned. Right. And quite frankly, I believe that the 6 and 5 seeds are locked into their positions as well.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the Colts were locked into the 5. Right now they would play the Ravens in Baltimore on Wild Card Weekend. And the Bengals are locked in at the 6.
Right.
And they would play the Patriots if it ended today in Foxborough on Wild Card Weekend. So not a lot of action there other than the intrigue if the Texans slip. And then it gets a little bit interesting in those late games if the Texans slip. Other than that, it's pretty set in the AFC.
Now, there are also 5 games that feature teams this weekend that are both teams are knocked out of the playoffs. So the NFL fans will get to see 10 teams play against each other that at this point are basically playing for a job in the offseason, maybe a head coach or a quarterback, free agent, running back, something like that, or just a lower draft pick in the draft. Let's start off previewing those meaningless games, Todd. The New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills, neither of those AFC East teams are making the playoffs. This game really means nothing. We do know, how about this? We do know that Greg McElroy has a concussion. He's not going to play. Jet fans, you'll get another week of Mark Sanchez.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, in a similar vein there, for the Eagles, same kind of thing. Nick Foles injured. Now they're going to play Vic for the, you know, his last game as an Eagle. So they're not going to pay him that ridiculous, what is it, $20 million bonus?
Yeah, something absurd.
In February. Absurd. So this is interesting. They have to, they're kind of, both teams, you're kind of trying to get a look at the youngster, you know, to close out the year in a meaningless game, and they can't even accomplish that. Now, it's been that kind of year for the Jets and Eagles.
Yeah, the Jets are a mess. We know that. And the Eagles are a mess too, but let's just stay on this Jets and Bills game for a second here. Jets are a mess. We don't know what's going to happen with Tim Tebow in the offseason. People are saying that he's requesting to be traded or whatever. He only has a one-year deal. He's going to go to Jacksonville in the offseason. We don't know what's going to happen to Mark Sanchez. Earlier reports were that the Jets were just going to have to eat his guaranteed contract, pay him $9 million to play for another team, basically. So we don't know what's going to happen with the Jets. Maybe Rex Ryan won't be back next year. Maybe Mike Tannenbaum, their GM, won't be back next year. So this may be the last time that we are fortunate enough to see Mark Sanchez in a New York Jets uniform.
You know, Patriots fans just got to be laughing, you know. This division that the Patriots are in is just a disaster. Really,
well, Patriot fans have to be crying, because if this is the last time they see Mark Sanchez, you know, maybe they could be better next year.
Yeah, that's true.
Without him at quarterback.
The Jets, but they need it.
Yeah, if you're a Patriot fan, you want to see Mark Sanchez next year.
You want to see more butt fumbles.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I thought that was going to an ugly place when he started that little phrase.
I won't go there. I won't go there, Kevin. I leave that up to Bill, that kind of stuff. But
there you go.
I don't see any of these teams in the Patriots division getting any better anytime soon, Bill. I mean, really.
No.
Not a serious threat at all. You know,
totally,
I think
agree.
It's been proven that unless there's an injury to Tom Brady, Patriots are going to be at the top of that division and for the foreseeable future.
All right, just to let you know, for all these playoff teams, for all these teams that are knocked out of the playoffs, I'm just going to go with the home team. So I'm taking Buffalo in this one over the Jets.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, what else do we got?
Moving on, Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, even worse.
AFC South rivalry, big rivalry down there in Tennessee this weekend. Both of these teams knocked out of the playoffs. And again, I'm going to take the home team. I'll go with the Titans.
All right, I agree.
Chad Henne playing for a job, or you think he's going to stick with the Jaguars?
The Jaguars should just relocate already.
I think,
you know,
that'll happen. Yeah,
the guy with the mustache. What's his name?
Shad Khan.
Yeah, what's his the cartoon character from back in the day that he looks like? What's the guy's name? Dastardly Doolittle or something?
Yeah,
I
sure.
Don't know. That guy. I mean, that franchise is just a debacle.
Yeah, I agree.
So Chad Henne, that's going to put some fannies in the seats next year.
Chad Henne coming to town. Well, if Tim Tebow signs with the Jaguars, he's a Jacksonville native. And then the team moves to L.A. Is that really going to help them sell seats? Tim Tebow in L.A.?
Oh, they're not moving to L.A. in this offseason. So
no.
I believe in the hype. I think that the hype that Tebow's going to wind up in Jacksonville, it just seems like a match made in heaven, and he's an owner that seems to be dumb enough to try it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Because nobody else is going to take on the headache that is Tim Tebow. There's no upside to having Tebow on your team right now, is there?
No, I don't think so.
Is there a team out there? I don't want to make this a Tebow show. I'm so tired of Tim Tebow. But is there one team out there, like a good team, a good franchise with good coaching and good management? Is there one team that would utilize him properly, if there even is such a way to use him properly out there? Do you see a good fit for him other than like a Jacksonville that's just trying to sell a few thousand season tickets?
What about New England?
What, you're going to take out Tom Brady and put in Tim Tebow?
I didn't say that.
I think that's a terrible fit. No.
I think New England could get very creative if they had Tim Tebow on the field. I'm not saying you take out Tom Brady. That would be idiotic.
So you're saying like a fullback?
Why
a
not?
Third tight end?
Who says that Tim Tebow has to play quarterback? Is that written in his contract? I have to play quarterback. I have to be under center. Put him at fullback. Put him at a tight end spot. Aaron Hernandez is like an H-back. I think Tim Tebow can play a similar role.
All right. I think maybe that'll – Kevin, do you have to chime in on this? Is Kevin awake?
I'm sort of awake.
Tim Tebow on the Patriots, what do you think about it?
I like it.
You like
it? Bring it on.
See, there you go, Todd. What do you think about that?
Bring it on. I think we had a punt block this year. Could eliminate that.
There you go.
All right, moving on. What other Panthers versus Saints games?
All the playoff lists, all the teams that are not making the playoffs, I think the Panthers and Saints game is probably the most exciting. You got Cam Newton playing great the last couple weeks, and Drew Brees, obviously, with the Saints. Brees going for another 5,000-yard passing season.
Yeah, that's an entertaining game. I mean, both teams have nothing to play for. I see a high-scoring game there. And if you are playing fantasy football in Week 17, this would be a good game to load up on.
Yeah, totally. Brees needs he's at 4,781 yards, so I guess he would need a pretty big game to get to 5,000.
Yeah, he could do it.
Yeah. 320? Is that 320? Yeah.
He'll do it. Does Brees seem like a – I don't want to sound terrible here. Does he seem like a little bit of a phony?
No.
It seems like Brees really enjoys these records a little too much.
You think he kind of is a little bit of an egomaniac?
I don't know. He does a tremendous amount of work off the field and charity work and all that.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. But it seems like the record – let's be honest. The records in football, who cares? They're all breaking all the records because of the passing game now, right?
So you kind of – I remember this. You basically were a little bit upset that when Brees broke the consecutive game with a passing touchdown record. Yeah, right. You were a little upset about that.
Well, I wasn't – I don't care.
Not upset that he broke it. You're upset to kind of stop the game. And
yeah, I'm like, what is this?
Well,
it's not like the home run record in baseball or something. It's just – whatever. All the passing records are going to be broken over and over and over again in the next couple of years.
Here's the thing. That game was in New Orleans, correct, when he did it?
I think so.
It was. Yeah.
And it was a Sunday night game.
Right. Here's the thing. New Orleans, they had an awful year in terms of publicity with the whole Bounty Gate. I think that was their only shining moment of the season, Drew Brees breaking that record.
But that's not the only thing. Wasn't it remember when he broke Marino's record?
Last year, yeah.
Wasn't it in complete garbage time? They're just throwing it around so we can get the record?
Yes.
And then he's all I don't know. There's just something – maybe it's just me. I don't know if Kevin, you agree, or Bill – there just seems to be a little bit of phoniness there with Drew Brees. It's just kind of – I'm just kind of seeing it the last couple of years, and he seems to be enjoying these records a little too much. So, Bill, if you're telling me he's 320 yards away from 5,000, and if that 5,000 means something to him, I'm sure he'll be in the game until the very end chucking bombs to get to 5,000.
I could see that. I don't think he's a phony person. I just think he enjoys his records.
Maybe I need a better adjective.
He's 220 yards away from.
Oh, that's nothing. He'll get that in the first half.
200
against the Panthers.
You guys know I'm horrible at math.
Maybe even the first quarter. Who knows?
All right. What other games do we got here, Bill?
Panthers versus Saints. We just talked about. I'm taking the Saints in that one. Like I said, I'm taking all the home teams. Cleveland Browns versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm shocked the Steelers aren't in the playoffs. It looked like they had a chance to catch up to the Ravens, even with Ben Roethlisberger out of the lineup. But the last couple of games, they fell off.
I'm surprised they lost last week, to be honest, at home to the Bengals.
Well, the Bengals needed that game to get into the playoffs. They won. They were in.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
They fell off in a big way. Now, let's see if Todd Haley's back, the offensive coordinator. Let's see if he's back next year. Because there's already been reports about Mike Wallace not understanding the playbook, Ben Roethlisberger not approving of the play calls. So that's interesting. We'll see if Todd Haley, that's something to look for in the offseason.
Again, another positive for Patriot fans, in my opinion. It's pretty obvious right now. The Steelers are an old team, man. They're an old team.
Their defense
they had
was
their
old.
Run.
Yep.
They still have Big Ben, and he can still get the job done, and he's still quality quarterback, obviously. But the rest of the guys on that team, they seem to be over the hill. Polamalu and all those guys. They seem to be on the tail end of their careers, and they really haven't done a nice job replenishing them. The offensive line had a lot of injuries. So we'll see with the Steelers. But I was still very surprised they lost last week at home to the Bengals in a must-win game. I thought they were going to pull that out, and they didn't do it.
How about the last two teams that are not making the playoffs that are playing against each other in Week 17? The San Diego Chargers are taking on the Oakland Raiders.
The Superchargers.
Now, of these five games that we just went over, which one is the absolute worst? None of them, none of these games, none of these last five games have a team with the playoffs that are making the playoffs. What is it? What do we got here? Superchargers song. Yeah. Maybe the last time that we'll see Norv Turner on the sidelines for San Diego.
Please, let that be the last time.
That's probably the likely scenario.
The worst game on this, of the five games we just covered, the worst game, it's a tie. It really is a tie. Jets, Bills, Jaguars, Titans.
Okay.
Both. I mean, those games are just awful.
Now, the Chargers, they play against the Raiders at 4:25. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, will Norv Turner be fired? Which would basically be an hour after the game. Do you think he makes it to Monday?
I think it happens on Monday.
You think it happens on Monday?
Yeah. The Chargers are kind of like, they don't seem to, I don't know. They'll try to do it. They'll try to time it. Because isn't Monday New Year's Eve day?
Yes.
They'll like time it. They'll try to bury it. You know, they'll wait for a couple other coaches to get the axe first, then they'll axe Norv.
Who is the first coach to get fired this year?
Ooh.
I'll throw some names at you.
Right.
Norv Turner, Andy Reid, Ron Rivera from the Panthers. Who's
Romeo
Pat
Cornell.
Shermer of the Browns.
Romeo.
Romeo Crennel of the Chiefs. Who's the first one to get let go?
Mm. That's a good question.
Jim Schwartz of the Lions. Rex Ryan of the Jets.
I don't think it'll be Andy Reid.
You think the Eagles wait a little bit?
I think they'll try to do it in a very professional manner and try to almost kind of make it a reflective moment. Like, you know, like not, I don't want to say celebratory moment or whatever, but the guy did a lot for the franchise. And
of
I think
course.
They, you know, they respect him. And Jeff Lurie, the owner there, he thinks the world of Andy Reid. So I think that might happen maybe after New Year's, you know.
Okay.
Wait till the holiday's over, something like that. I don't know. Maybe it will be. Maybe Norv, given the names you just threw out there, maybe it will be Norv.
Yeah, I think he's the first one to go.
See you later,
Norv.
On Monday.
You think it happens on Monday?
Yeah.
All right. Jaguars, Titans, Jets, Bills, Panthers, Saints, Browns, Steelers, Raiders, Chargers, all of those teams, those 10 teams, we're not going to see in action until next summer.
See ya.
Later. All right, now for the rest of the games, quickly, we'll go over these games. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons really have nothing to play for at this point. They have home field advantage locked up in the NFC.
Buccaneers win that game.
Ooh, interesting. Playing for Greg Schiano.
Not really interesting. Not really interesting.
Do you think Matt Ryan plays the whole game?
Nope.
No. All right. Baltimore Ravens versus Cincinnati Bengals. Now, these two teams are both in the playoffs.
Yeah, and the Bengals have nothing to play for, and I don't think the Ravens do either.
Right.
Ravens can't catch. Well, I guess they can catch the Patriots, actually.
But they
matters.
Can't catch the Broncos or the Texans.
Yeah, I guess they could catch the Patriots, but I don't know. If I'm the Ravens, I don't think I rest my guys. I think I take the opposite approach. They need to get on track, man,
yeah.
That team. They need to get on track. And so I think the Ravens win that game.
All right, how about the Bears versus the Lions? If the Bears win and the Vikings lose, the Bears get the final wild card spot in the NFC.
Hmm. How about it, huh?
And the Lions, what are they on, a five-game losing streak, six-game losing streak?
Yeah.
They're just terrible.
The Lions are awful right now. I'll take the Bears.
The Lions are on a – hold on, let me count this up. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven-game losing streak. Their last win came week 9, November 4th, over the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have since lost 7 games in a row. How do you do that? How do you start off the year? Pretty good. Well, they were they started off 1-4.
I mean, you know what? It's not like the Bears are playing that great either. I mean, they beat Arizona last week thanks to their defense.
Bears are another team. What do they start off? 7-1, 8-1.
Yeah,
they collapsed in the second half too.
Yeah, they have been. They haven't been great. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Lions won that game, but I will take the Bears.
All right, Texans versus Colts. The Texans can clinch a first round bye with a win. Or a Patriots or Denver loss. Colts are just locked into their seed.
This is a hard one, man. I got to know what's the Colts' mindset for this one.
I think the Colts win. They want to go into the playoffs hot. I think the Texans, I'll tell you what, they go into the playoffs on a two-game losing streak, and then they have a first-round bye, they'll lose in that second round.
Well, they might not have a first-round bye if they lose.
Oh, right. Well, then they're going to – I'll tell you what. Regardless, if the Texans go into the playoffs on a two-game losing streak, they're losing their first playoff game. I'll word it that way.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we talked about it for the past month, that the path to the Super Bowl, if you're a Patriots fan, you'd much rather go to Houston than Denver.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I'm having a hard time picking this game, Bill. I really am. I hope that the Colts come out and play a full game. And if they do, I think it's going to come down to the wire. I think it's going to be a really close
Pagano
game.
Pagano has vowed that they're going to play this game. So
yeah.
We'll see.
I think the Colts win. I'm going to take the Colts. How about
that? There you
that?
Go.
He came out and said that it wasn't in their makeup to sit people and that everybody that was, you know, physically able to play is going to play.
We'll see. Chuck Strong, I'm going to go with the Colts.
So am I. Yeah, I like the Colts in this
one. And all of New England should be rooting for them as well.
Yeah, I mean, if the Colts – I can just see it now. If the Colts are somehow able to pull that upset, guys, when I head out onto that field at like 4:15, 4:20, it's going to be nuts in the stands, I think. It'll be a whole new vibe to this game on Sunday.
I agree, 100%.
By the way, you guys watching this Military Bowl on ESPN right now?
No, Kevin, we're hosting a radio show.
I'm just saying. I feel like this is – We need to bring back the idiot report just for this idiot. The punter for San Jose State hits this gorgeous punt and is rolling down like inside the five.
Yeah.
And there's a guy clearly waiting there to like down it. And one of his teammates just runs by and kicks it into the end zone and then falls over like he had been stun gunned or something and is just laying there in embarrassment.
Thank you for that update.
I'm just saying. It's very entertaining.
The Military Bowl. Who's in that game?
San Jose State and Bowling Green.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome matchup.
No wonder why it's on at like 3 o'clock.
Thursday night. Yeah, exactly.
No, started at 3 o'clock on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, primetime game. Sure.
Ugh.
All right, back to the NFL. Eagles versus the Giants. Now, the New York Giants, out of all the teams, Bears, Vikings, Dallas Cowboys, Washington Redskins, the Giants, they basically don't have a shot here. They can clinch a wild card spot with a win. Plus, they need the Bears to lose, the Vikings to lose, and the Cowboys to lose. It's looking like a pretty impossible picture here for the New York Giants.
Well, the key, it's really not that impossible.
They need three teams to lose.
Yeah, well, Dallas could easily lose the Redskins.
Okay, fair.
The Vikings could easily lose the Packers.
Fair.
The Bears is the one. The Bears-Lions game, that's the one. They need that one to go their way.
And I don't think
it's
the Bears.
In the Meadowlands. Eagles.
Yeah, I'm with Todd. I don't think it's that crazy to think that they can make it.
I think it's out of control.
It's the Bears.
I really don't.
I don't think it's that crazy.
I'm not. I think that all three of three teams, Bill, that they need to lose.
Bears have to lose to the Lions. Vikings have to lose to the Packers. Right. Dallas has to lose at Washington.
I think
what's going to happen, guys?
What?
The Bears, the Vikings, and the Cowboys are going to lose, but so are the Giants.
Oh, that would stink.
They're not going to lose the Eagles at home.
That would be a real ball buster for Giants.
Now, Todd, you mentioned it earlier. Mike Vick, who was supposed to be benched for the whole season or the rest of the remaining of the season, Mike Vick is going to play this game because Nick Foles is going on IR.
Yeah, well, Vick hasn't played in, 2 months?
Right.
And when he did play, he was a turnover machine. So
still, though, if I'm a Giants fan, which I'm not, obviously, but if I was, I'd much rather play Foles than play Vick. That's just my personal opinion.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
I would kind of be sitting there like, oh, Foles broke his hand. He's out. I would have, you know, if you're bringing in some jag off the street to play, then great. But if you're having to play Mike Vick, I don't know, who's probably playing.
I agree with that.
And Mike Vick's probably playing his tail off for a chance to, you know, get a second chance somewhere else next year. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. All right, how about the Cardinals versus?
So what's your
pick? Who's going to win that game? Eagles versus Giants. Who's
Giants are going to win.
I don't think so.
The Eagles need that number three overall. They need to lose to keep that number three or four overall pick.
There you go.
Lose that.
Cardinals versus the 49ers. San Francisco can clinch the NFC West with a win, and they can also clinch a bye in the first round if they win and the Packers lose.
Niners will win that game.
Okay.
Cardinals are just awful.
Rams versus Seahawks. We know that Richard Sherman, their top cornerback, he won his appeal against the NFL, so he's not going to be suspended. And the Seahawks can clinch the NFC West with a win and a San Francisco loss. But we don't think the Niners have a shot at losing to the Cardinals, right?
I don't think so.
The Seahawks will get a five seed.
I think so.
All right. Packers versus the Vikings. Green Bay can clinch a bye with a win. And the Vikings, if they win, they're in.
I mean,
it's in Minnesota.
Order.
It's in Minnesota.
Yeah. You know,
Packers are hot. Vikings coming off a big win over the Texans. How are the Vikings still alive for a playoff spot? Other than Adrian Peterson, do they have any offensive weapons at this point? I mean, Christian Ponder, second-year quarterback, really is not developing or maturing as much as I'm sure the Vikings would like to see. No Percy Harvin. They got Kyle Rudolph, who's, you know, a big threat in the red zone. Their receivers stink. This entire team is surrounded by Adrian Peterson. And by the way, I want to see him break Eric Dickerson's record.
Well, this is an interesting game, Bill. This is another one. This is kind of like that Houston Colts game. Not sure which way to go on this. I think the Vikings, I can't see them beating the Texans and Packers back-to-back.
All right.
Can you?
No, I can't. I didn't think they were going to beat the Texans. I was shocked.
Yeah, I'll go with the Packers. The Packers still want to keep that first-round bye,
right?
Which they have now that the Seahawks crushed the Niners last week. So
right.
The Packers have something to play for. I think they get the job done. If they get ahead of the Vikings, there's no way for the Vikings to come back unless Adrian Peterson rips off 50-yard runs all over the place.
Right. I think he had like 214 the last time they met. 214. All right, last two games to get through here. Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Denver Broncos. If the Broncos win, they get a first-round bye. Or if the Patriots lose, they get a first-round bye.
This game is 30-3.
Oh, wow. Now, if the Broncos win and the Texans lose, then the Super Bowl goes through Denver, the AFC.
Yeah, the AFC well, the Broncos aren't losing this game. This is the lock of the week.
Sunday night game, Dallas Cowboys taking on the Washington Redskins down in D.C.
Love this game, Bill.
The winner is the NFC East champion, Todd. You got Tom Brady. You got Tony Romo taking on RG3. Mike Shanahan. Playing, who the heck's the Cowboys coach? Why am I blanking on his name right now? Not Jason Garrett.
What are you
Garrett.
Talking about?
Jason Garrett, Cowboys
coach.
Oh,
the head coach of the Cowboys.
Yeah, Shanahan versus Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
RG3 versus Romo. Who's going to win this game? Who's going to be the NFC East champion?
Man, I think this game's going to live up to the billing. This is the beautiful thing about the flex scheduling with NBC. They flex this game in there. Who did they have originally? Was it Jets-Bills? Do you guys know?
I think God, I'll remember.
I could be wrong on that. They flexed into this game, which is a tremendous. It's in Washington, Bill. I'm going to take the Redskins, but I think it's going to be a classic game. I think it's going to come down to the end. I think it's going to be a nice conclusion to the NFL regular season. What do you say?
I think the Redskins win the NFC East, and it'll be pretty interesting to see rookie quarterback taking down the conference with veteran quarterbacks coming into the year like Eli Manning, Tony Romo, and Mike Vick.
I'll give the Cowboys this. Every game they play is exciting.
That's true.
I don't think they're very good, but they are in every game, and every game comes down to the end. And I think you're going to see it again here in Washington. I think it'll be 24-21, something like that.
All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com will join us, and we'll take a closer look the best teams in the NFL, who is most likely going to make a run down to New Orleans for the Super Bowl 47. That's all coming up next on Patriots.com Radio.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
You're as cold as ice.
You don't look at stats or chicken wings the way Kerry Byrne does. It's time for the cold, hard football facts right here on Football Nation.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation, Bill and Todd. We are joined by our good friend Kerry Byrne from coldhardfootballfacts.com. You can listen to his show every Wednesday here on Patriots.com Radio, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also, give him a follow on Twitter. He's a lot of fun. Always giving out great information on Twitter, at Football Facts. That's at Football Facts on Twitter. Kerry, thanks for calling in today, and what's going on? How was your holiday? Did you get that puppy you were looking at?
No such luck. The puppy that apparently the Boston sports community so desperately wants me to have was not delivered by Santa Claus. So I'm a little disappointed, Bill.
Now, I would assume that if you did get the puppy, it would be eating, like, beef jerky right out of your hand, right?
It would have to enjoy beef jerky to live in my household.
Yeah, or, like, some sausage or something like that.
No, absolutely. You know what we did? I go up to the woods of Maine real quick each Christmas to be with my wife's family. Last year, we didn't get to do it this year, but last year we were roasting moose meat over an open fire. This year we were skating out on the pond, snowmobiling up through the woods. And
oh, nice.
We were up in the woods. It was a very rustic country Christmas, if you will.
You sound like you have a lot of fun. You're not like Todd that is wrapping gifts until 3:30 in the morning.
Well, you know, Todd has the great bounty of children that I don't have. So it's a great blessing, but also he's up till 3 in the morning wrapping gifts on Christmas Eve, and I'm not. So,
Kerry, we were supposed to do an updated playoff picture before we had you on as the guest today. So I'll do that real quick. I'll just blow through it real quick. And then we want to kind of go in depth to the strengths and weaknesses of these teams. The Texans have the number one seed right now. The Broncos, 2 seed. Patriots have the 3 seed. They play the Bengals, who have the 6th seed. The Indianapolis Colts have the 5th seed. They would play the Ravens, who have the 4th seed. That's the AFC. The NFC, we know the Atlanta Falcons have the first seed locked up. The Packers, if they win, they have the 2nd seed and first-round bye. 49ers would play the 6th seed Minnesota Vikings. The Redskins would play the Seattle Seahawks. That would be a rookie quarterback battle, and that one, RG3 taking on Russell Wilson. That is if the playoffs were, if the regular season ended today, that would be the playoff scenario. So now let's look at these teams and who has the best shot, who's ready to make a run at the Super Bowl. What are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? What are the teams doing good? What are the teams doing bad? We'll start off with the New England Patriots.
Well, you know, we know the story with the Patriots. They have a world-class quarterback. They have one of the great offenses in the history of football. The weakness, of course, is that pass defense. They are number 28 in defensive passing yards per attempt. That means that only 4 teams are getting gashed more badly through the air by opposing quarterbacks. That's not the place you want to be if you're going to have to beat, Peyton Manning and perhaps a Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl if you do get past Peyton Manning. The good thing for the Patriots is that it doesn't look like it's a particularly daunting quarterbacking field right now in the AFC. Andy Dalton shouldn't scare you. Matt Schaub shouldn't scare you. Joe Flacco shouldn't scare you. Andrew Luck certainly shouldn't scare you. It's Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, and I think that's what it comes down to there in the AFC at the end of the day.
Now, you mentioned the Patriots' weakness being their passing defense. In the playoffs, you know, we kind of seen the Patriots get up to an early lead this year, and then teams are coming out and passing a lot against them. In the playoffs, though, don't you think the games are generally a bit more close in terms
of
the
score? Why I look at efficiency numbers like passer rating, which the volume of attempts against you, the average per attempt against you, have no bearing on those numbers, because what happens is the average analyst looks at a team and says, oh, they're number 26 in pass defense, but they're looking at yardage allowed, which is a useless, completely useless indicator for determining winners and losers in Super Bowl contenders. Let me cite you 2 great examples. Most notably, well, first let's go 2009. The Saints were number 26 in passing yards allowed, and everyone said they're going to get torn up by Peyton Manning and the Colts. And we said, no, they're going to win that game because they're a much better pass defense. In fact, they were number 3 in defensive passer rating. They were not Peyton Manning. They were a much stronger pass defense, and Peyton Manning was going to struggle against them. When you look at the efficiency numbers, and struggle he did, he threw a pick 6 that basically cost them the game, and that was easy to see if you looked at the right numbers. It was easy to see that scenario coming. Another one for Patriots fans is in 2001, same exact thing. The Patriots were number 23 and number 24, I forget, in passing yards allowed. And they're going in to play, you know, Kurt Warner and the greatest show on turf, Rams, and everyone said they can't stop the Rams. Well, we looked at it. They were number 3 in defensive passer rating. They were a very efficient pass defense that caused a lot of turnovers and really played very well in pass defense despite the yardage allowed. The yardage allowed was merely a function of the pass attempts against them. So do not look at that yardage allowed. It's not going to help you determine who's really a strong defense and who's not. So that's when we look at the efficiency numbers. And in those numbers, the 2012 Patriots are not particularly adept as were their championship teams in years past.
Kerry, let's take a look at the NFC for a second, because I was at coldhardfootballfacts.com today, and I saw that the number one team in your quality stats power rankings is the Seattle Seahawks, not the Broncos, not the Packers, not the Falcons, not the Patriots,
wow.
The Seahawks. Now, are they a viable contender to make it to the Super Bowl, given that they're going to have to do it on the road starting in that wild card game?
Well, let's not forget, they do have an outside chance at actually a first-round bye. Not a good chance, but an outside chance if the Packers and 49ers lost and they win. They actually get a first-round bye.
49ers have to play the Cardinals at home.
Yeah, though. No, like I said, not a likely.
Let's assume that they have to go on the road, play Washington,
yep. Well,
and then go that way.
First of all, they're the number one defense in football. The number one scoring defense in football. They are a very efficient passing attack, talking about those efficiency numbers. And Russell Wilson, I think, finally is getting some credit. But the Seattle Seahawks are number 7 in the NFL in passing efficiency and real quarterback rating, our measure of all aspects of quarterback play. If you look just their offensive passer rating, they're number 6. I mean, this is a Super Bowl caliber passing offense. you know, 26 passing touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Those are Super Bowl caliber numbers. 7.7 yards per attempt every time Russell Wilson throws a football. That's better than the Green Bay Packers. That's almost as good as, that's better than the New England Patriots. That's better than the New Orleans Saints. This is a team that gets the ball downfield in the passing game. Coupled with the number one pass defense, and I mean the number one defense in football, this is a very formidable team, guys. Not only that, 150 points scored in the last 3 weeks. We've been kind of riding the Seahawks, waving the Seahawks banner all season. They've kind of, you know, been statistically percolating beneath the surface all year and finally exploded to the top in recent weeks. And, you know, anytime you score 150 points in three games, I don't care who you're playing, you're a viable threat to do some damage. And I was very concerned about their ability to win on the road, but because they had struggled all year on the road, and clearly a better team at home. But, you know, they beat the Bears, a very good team on the road. They beat the Bills on the road in Toronto, not a great Bills team, not a very good Bills team, but they still scored 50 points against them, you know, 6 hours from home, you know, a five-hour plane ride from home in Toronto. This is a dangerous, dangerous team, guys, and I think, honestly, I would not be surprised if they reached the Super Bowl.
I mean, think about it, Bill. If it were to play out the way, if the season were to, or the playoffs were to start today, the road would be this if everything were to play out as the seeds, you know, the typical seeds won. Seahawks on the road at the Redskins. That's a winnable game, correct?
Sure.
Seahawks on the road at the Falcons, who we don't believe in that much.
Now, that is the only game that I think, you know, we know the Seattle Seahawks are great at home. But I don't know if they can go down to Atlanta and win that game.
Well, that's likely what they would have to do if the seeds all played out the right way. And then after that, they might have to go to Lambeau if you're a believer in Green Bay making it to the NFC Championship game. So you're looking
now,
at
that game would be interesting because we all remember what happened on Monday night, week two of the NFL.
It's destiny, Bill.
Week five. That would be. I would.
What
love
do you think, Kerry?
Hey,
it's destiny. The rematch.
The best scenario in football this year would be this. Okay, and I am actively rooting for this. I don't usually root for teams. I root for numbers and I root for stats. Right. I am rooting for the Packers and 49ers to lose because the Seahawks and Packers will be 11-5, tied for the number two seed, and the tiebreaker will be the controversial Golden Tate touchdown against the Packers back in week three that would hand the Seattle Seahawks a first round bye and the number two seed in the NFC playoffs. That would be a fun story. But Scott, you just played up the scenario.
They can't get over that game.
This is the number one defense in football, guys. They can beat Atlanta. They can beat Washington on the road. This is a team that then they're in the NFC title game, and anything can happen. Really, anything can happen.
Can you imagine, Bill, the Seahawks going up against the Patriots in the Super Bowl?
They got a big rule. The Seahawks got a big ruling today. That Richard Sherman suspension. It got appealed, and he won the suspension. That's major news.
That's huge.
He was facing a four-game suspension.
We were worried about that because we thought he was postponing his inevitable suspension. It was going to happen in the playoffs. We were like, why is he doing that? You know?
Right.
He must have known something. Yeah, it's big.
Hey, guys, the other thing with the Seahawks, okay, we have what we call the mother of all stats, right? Passer rating differential.
Right.
And we talk about it all the time. 70% of all NFL champions finished in the top three. And passer rating differential, the Seattle Seahawks number two right now. Only the Green Bay Packers are better.
So the Green Bay Packers, Seattle Seahawks, who's number three?
Denver Broncos, Atlanta Falcons, 49ers, Redskins, Texans, Bears, Patriots, Pittsburgh, rounding out your top ten.
Wait. The Bears are above the Patriots on their passer rating
differential? Because the Patriots have a dreadful, dreadful defense.
Remember,
it measures both sides of the ball.
Right.
So the Patriots are much better. You know, the Patriots are 18 points better on offense, offensive pass rating than the Bears, but the Bears are 19 points better defensively.
Wow.
So there's a difference. That's why, granted, New England's a better team, you know, but if you look at this number, guys, if you look at pass rating differential, if you show me only that number of any team in history, I could tell you their record within one or two games.
Oh, is that
accurate? So you said 70% of all Super Bowl champions.
All NFL champions since 1940.
Finished in what?
It finished in the top three in passer rating differential.
And right now it's the Packers, Seahawks,
and Broncos.
And the Broncos.
Those seem like three pretty good legit Super Bowl teams to me.
Yeah, sure. Now, you mentioned the Broncos. Let's take a look at them for a second. What do they do? We know what they do well. They pass the football well. You just said it. They're number three. They also apparently defend the football well, too. But what don't they do so good? What is their weakness?
Well, you know, the thing is they're pretty good at just about everything. I think if you're going to – hold on, I'm having a little issue here. Sorry, guys. I think if you're going to look at their weakness, you know, the only thing they really don't do well, guys, is run the football. They're 25th in the NFL in average per attempt, average 3.8 yards per attempt. But you know what? I don't look at that as a weakness. Really, rushing the football is totally overvalued. It really is. People say you need to run in December and run the playoffs. You don't. You absolutely don't. And anyone who tells you need to run the ball in the playoffs, it doesn't know what they're talking about. Empirically, does not know what they're talking about. I can cite teams throughout history, from the 1966 Packers to the 2011 Giants, who were among the very worst teams in football in rushing the football. So the fact that the Broncos right now are 28th or 25th in the NFL in average per rush attempt, that is their weakness. But that's if you're going to have the weakness, that's the weakness you want to have. They're very good at protecting the passer. They're very good on third down. They have the best defensive front in football. This is a dangerous. We talked about the Seahawks being a dangerous team. The Denver Broncos are that deadly, dangerous team. I mean, they're number one in passing the average per pass attempt. Number one in the defensive hog index, our measure of every defensive front. And if you're very good in that, you usually go to the Super Bowl. They're number one in third down defense. They're actually better defensively, guys, than they are offensively in a lot of different ways.
Terry, another article that you published today on coldhardfootballfacts.com, the do or die article. I want you to talk a little bit about this. It's pretty interesting. The headline is Do or Die, We're All Done, The Psychology of Week 17 Football. Can you give us a little thumbnail sketch on that article? It's pretty interesting
stuff. Well, the gist is this. The NFL has tried desperately to legislate parity, and it's failed miserably. There is no parity in the NFL. In fact, there's less parity now than there was in the 1980s. Free agency, all the moves they've done to create parity have really failed. And the reason we know this, look at the Patriots, okay? Historically dominant for better than a decade, like no team in the history of football. So if you're historically dominant, that refutes the notion of parity, just on its face, refutes the notion of parity. And the other example is this, guys. 10 of the 12 playoff game teams are already decided going into week 17.
Yeah,
we have one
that.
Do or die game.
Yep.
We literally have one do or die game. We have six games with two teams playing for nothing. We have 12 games in which only one team has something to play for, and in most cases, only seeding. There's only a couple teams that can play in, really. And it's basically the Bears and the Vikings. You know, the Vikings, the only team that are – the Vikings and the winner of the Redskins-Cowboys game, the only team that's winner in. That – and one thing, you know, in 2010, the NFL decided to do only divisional games in Week 17 in the hope it would create more interesting finishes. In fact, this season, that's failed as well because you have a lot of teams that aren't contenders and their respective divisions already decided they're out, and so you have a lot of bad matchups between divisional foes. You know, the Browns and the Steelers. Those teams are both out of it. The Jaguars and the Titans, they're both out of it. The Panthers
Bills,
and
Jets.
The Saints, both out
yep.
of it. The Jets, the Bills. You know, there's a lot of games with nothing to play for, literally nothing to play for. And I don't think that was the NFL's intent, clearly, when they passed these rules. So we wondered, and this is one of our insider stories, Todd, if you go to Cold Hard Football Facts, our insiders get all this analysis. But what's the psychology of all that, of when a team has nothing to play for? How do you adjust for that if you're trying to pick winners and losers, whether straight up or against the spread? And, you know, our theory is nobody is inside the head of these players in the locker room. At the end of the day, you got to rely on the numbers. You got to rely, like we do, on our quality stats. And we're something like 70-31 picking winners and losers against the spread, guys, in week 16 and 17 of NFL seasons going back to 2009, you know, which is pretty great track record against the spread. So
Wow. We
just trust our numbers, and we say at the end of the day, if you're going to pick winners and losers, you can't worry about who has something to play for and who doesn't. You have to look at every game as a unique statistical event and try to pick winners and losers that way.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kerry, if the NFL ever does go to an 18-game regular season schedule, this certainly won't get any better.
No, it won't. And I'm not a fan of the – I think there's plenty of games as is. I'm not – I don't know what you guys think, but I'm not a fan of an 18-game schedule. I don't think we need two more games.
I'm totally with you on that. I think it's ridiculous.
I mean, 16, we know who the best teams are in football. Guys, look at already by week 16, we know who 10 of the 12 – we know who the good teams are. This week 17 is going to change very little. We're either going to get – so we might get the Bears in the playoffs instead of the Vikings. Is that going to make a break the season? You know, Redskins and Cowboys, neither one of those teams are legit Super Bowl threats. So – we're talking about teams on the periphery right now. the Super Bowl contenders are already determined, guys. You know, we had, what, three or four teams who already knew they were in the playoffs, already wrapped up the divisions by week 13 between the, you know, the Broncos, the Patriots, the Falcons. I mean, these teams have known all of December they're going to the postseason. So, you know, parity schmarity, we say, Todd. It doesn't exist in the NFL. You know, and by the way, five of the six teams in the AFC were in the playoffs last year. You know, that notion of parity is a myth, and we don't need an extra 2 weeks to change things in the NFL.
Kerry, originally your Super Bowl prediction at the beginning of the year was the Green Bay Packers and the Houston Texans, correct?
The 49ers and the Texans.
Oh, the 49ers and the Texans, I'm sorry. All right, now that you've had a whole season to kind of digest all of your quality stats, are you changing up your pick?
Well, you know what? I mean, at the end of the day, my original pick is my original pick. I can't change it, you know?
Who's your Week 17 pick?
I was thinking Houston would beat San Francisco in the Super Bowl. I was feeling pretty confident about that until the last couple weeks. And, you know, right now, if we're looking, looking at who's hot right now and who's surging and who has the total package on both sides of the ball, I think it could be a Seattle-Denver Super Bowl, guys.
Seattle-Denver,
these are the two hottest teams in football. These are the two best teams on both sides of the ball in their respective conferences right now. Without doubt, by the way, without doubt.
The honorary captains would be John Elway and Jim Zorn.
That's kind of a mismatch, too. But what would be cool? How about Russell Wilson, guys? What a great story that's not getting enough attention nationally. A 5'11" guy who's too short to play in the NFL, a third-round draft pick, coming in and taking out the high-priced free agent quarterback in Matt Flynn, leading a great offense, leading 150 points in 3 weeks, a historic run of offensive production, really in a highly productive passer. To me, certainly a much better quarterback than Andrew Luck. Not even close, guys. Not even close to me. And, you know, he's leading a legit Super Bowl contender. That would be a great story, a rookie in the Super Bowl at quarterback, something we've not seen before.
And we might see two rookies face off in the first round of the playoffs with the Seahawks and the Redskins. That would be cool to see, too.
Say that again, I'm sorry?
Well, the Redskins, right now it's projected that the Redskins would play the Seahawks in the first round of the playoffs. RG3 was picked second overall. Russell Wilson was picked in the third round.
Yep.
So that would be an interesting matchup as well.
No, absolutely. Well, not only that, but interesting, guys, because they're so good so early. We talked about this earlier in the year that you didn't see this years ago where a quarterback, a rookie could come in and play at such a high level. And, we, you know, there's a lot of reasons for it. They're schooled in pro-style offenses from the time they're in high school these days. The NFL makes it very easy to pass the ball. But, you know, right now I'm going to look at real quarterback rating. Our measure of all aspects of quarterback play, the Redskins number one, the Seahawks number seven. Hmm. Those are two teams with rookie quarterbacks. And the 49ers number six, you know, right now with the second-year quarterback. And the other quarterbacks in the mix are Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, and Tom Brady. I mean, these are two rookie quarterbacks playing as well as the best quarterbacks of the last decade in football. That's a pretty interesting story, and that'll be a fun game, guys. That'll really be a fun game.
All right, Kerry, are you back on air next week, or because of the holiday you're not going to
be back? We'll be back on air. We missed yesterday, and I apologize for that, but just with schedules and everything, missed the 1 week with the holiday. But we're back up and running next week. We'll be rocking and rolling with the Cold Hard Football Facts Wednesday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. there on Patriots.com.
All right, and don't forget, you can follow Kerry on Twitter, @FootballFacts, and check out more of his stuff, ColdHardFootballFacts.com. And as he said, he'll be back on Patriots.com radio next Wednesday at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Kerry, as always, thank you so much for joining us here, and enjoy the final week of the regular season in the NFL.
All right, you too, gentlemen. Have a good day.
So Kerry Byrne is getting off the Houston Texans bandwagon a little bit there.
He loves the Seahawks. Absolutely loves them. He likes Russell Wilson, thinks he's a great quarterback already in his rookie season. Absolutely loves what their defense is doing, and you heard him say it. He thinks they have a really good shot at making a run to the Super Bowl.
Kevin, what happens if the Seahawks play the Falcons? Do you just play that sound like twice?
Yeah, probably.
Is that how it works?
Double tap.
How would that hear? How would that sound? No, you need a different one for each one, dude.
I like the double tap.
No, I think the Seahawks need to be like, you know what would be good to add? You need to add like a tugboat in the background for the Seahawks.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Or like a foghorn.
Yeah, like a foghorn. You have any foghorns? Now play the bird. Can you play the bird and the foghorn at the same time?
I can't do that yet. I'd have to make one file. I could do that. I could combine it.
You can't hit the button twice at the same simultaneously?
No, because they're not. Well, hang on. I could hotkey them.
Yeah, hotkey them. The audience really knows what you're talking about with that phrase. Kevin's going to just do a real quick hotkey. See how long this hotkey takes. Whipping up a quick hotkey for a pointless soundbite.
There you go.
You didn't hotkey anything.
So whenever you hear that, it's... Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the Seahawks. There you go. Big foghorn.
That's all I got for you.
Hey, Bill.
No, it's funny because... Well, go on, Todd.
I'm putting you on the spot here. Who's the last team Seattle lost to? Don't look.
The last team the Seahawks lost to?
Yep.
Was it the Rams?
It's the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's right. Down in Miami, yeah.
Since then, man, four in a row. One at Chicago.
They're hot. They are hot.
You can't be any hotter than they are. 58-0, 50-17, 42-13 against the Niners.
Yeah.
I mean, hey.
And they made the Niners look bad. I mean, the Patriots made the Niners look great in the first half of that game. But the Seahawks, they made the Niners look terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, that game wasn't even close.
I mean, it's a shame that if you're a Seahawks fan, it's a shame they might not have any home games in the playoffs. I mean, they probably won't have any home games in the playoffs. They're going to have to win everything on the road. I think that's the problem with them.
There's no way that they can get home field advantage.
No, there is.
They can clinch the NFC West if they win and the 49ers lose.
Right.
They can clinch a first-round bye if they win, the Packers lose, and the 49ers lose. That's what they need to happen. They need that bye, I think. I don't think they want to play the Redskins in the first round. I don't know if anyone wants to play the Redskins in the first round. I'll tell you, that triple option.
I think
the Seahawks would destroy the Redskins.
I think they would destroy the Redskins on the road.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think the Redskins, they're dangerous in the playoffs.
First of all, they got to beat Dallas.
Easily done.
Easily done. I think it's going to be a close game.
Okay.
I'll tell you, RG3 is not 100% with that knee. And he's in the pocket just throwing darts, which he's very good at, but the whole running element of his game is it wasn't there last week. I don't know if he can, you know, recover in the next week or two or whatever. Well, recover by Sunday night, what he needs to do. But he did not have any mobility in that game.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that right now, that's a big part of his game. That's a big threat, and that's gone. So we'll see. But I think that the problem with the Seahawks making a deep run is they're not going to have any home games. You play a home game up in Seattle, up in Canada, as you say,
yeah,
that's a loss, baby.
Yeah,
that is a loss, and they're not going to have that luxury in the playoffs. So even with the game, they shouldn't have the extra win on their side of the ledger when they should have lost to the Packers in that crazy game early in the season. Even with that going their way, they still won't get a home game.
Are the Seahawks a surprise team of the year?
See,
the Colts were, what, 2-14 last year? They're in the playoffs. Seattle was decent. We all know their story 2 years ago when they beat the Saints in the playoffs.
Well, it depends on how you want to just define this. I think Russell Wilson's the biggest surprise player.
Yeah,
I agree, nobody saw that coming. I mean, I think you could have made the argument that RG3 and Andrew Luck were going to, you know, be threats right away. I don't think we would have predicted either of them going to the playoffs.
Right.
But Russell Wilson, third, you know, coming out of nowhere. I mean, when he got drafted by the Seahawks, like you said, in the third round, you know, the Seahawks had just paid Matt Flynn all that money.
A lot of money.
Yeah, and they just put Flynn to the wayside. They just, you know, pushed him to the wayside and said, we're going to go with the rook.
Remember a year ago, this week was Matt Flynn's week where he had that huge record-setting day for the Packers, and then he got that huge contract in the offseason.
He, Matt Castle, Scott Mitchell, it goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
Who's it going to be this year? Who's going to be the guy that comes in and has the big week 17 and gets a ridiculous amount of money and fizzles out?
I think Chad Henne or Mark Sanchez.
Or maybe Mike.
What about Mike Vick? Mike Vick could be that guy easily. Let's say Mike Vick comes in and torches the Giants this week. We know he's not going to be in Philadelphia next year. He might get a big payday. The Jets, maybe the Bills, maybe the Jaguars.
The only difference is the three guys that I just mentioned were all unknowns.
That's true.
Flynn, Castle, and Scott Mitchell. I'm going way back with Scott Mitchell, but he's a classic case. They were all kind of unknowns. You know, Vic,
yeah.
We've seen Vic for, you know, we've seen a lot of Vic. So there might not be a guy like that this year, but someone will overpay. Everyone overpays the quarterbacks. Vic's going to be a starter somewhere next year.
All right.
Don't you think?
I totally agree. Yeah. But not in Philadelphia.
No.
All right, what do you say we take a quick break? When we come back, it is time for the top 10 bottom five teams in the NFL. That's the Football Nation Power Rankings. Also, if you want to chime in on your Super Bowl prediction, talking a lot about the Super Bowl, a lot of playoff predictions, give us a call, 508-298-0398. You can also email us at webradiopatriots.com. More Football Nation coming up next on patriots.com radio.
Football Nation, the pulse of NFL fans everywhere.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASC certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation, the final show of the 2012 NFL regular season. Bill Todd, our producer Kevin, hanging out with you for just a few more minutes here. If you're listening live, you can quickly email us, webradio@patriots.com, or give us a call, 508-298-0398. 1-800-919-0398, or if you're listening on demand and you are still in your fantasy football championship, you can tweet us at FFChamps just in case you need some extra help with your lineup, like our producer Kevin does this week. Now, Kevin, who are you playing in the championship? You're in this Patriots office only league, some kind of
I defeated the host of Patriots Today, Brian Lowe, last week.
Okay. Before
you guys came along, he had dubbed himself as the Fantasy Lowdown, and he had a fantasy show here on Patriots.com. And then we decided, you know, he's really not that good at it, so we'll just get rid of him, and then we'll bring in some true professionals.
So he was in the semifinals, which, I mean, shows he's pretty good.
And he, it's funny, he travels with the team.
Right.
So when he, you know, was wheels up down there in Jacksonville after the game, he had a 70-point lead heading into that 4 o'clock wave, and then when he landed, he was defeated.
Oh, my God.
So it was great. It was great. I loved every second of it.
So who are you playing this week?
So this week I am playing my good friend Paul Pros, who is the director of In-Stadium Entertainment, and we work on the Jumbo show together. So it's an all-Jumbo final. There's no TV or any other radio people or newspaper guys left. It's just us two.
Now, the game is at Gillette Stadium this Sunday, correct?
Our game?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Now, will you and – I'm sorry, who did you say you're playing?
Paul,
Ben?
My friend Paul.
Paul, yeah, yep. Paul. Are you guys going to have live scoring updates on the Jumbotron? Because that would be epic.
I don't know if the Kraft family would take too kindly to that.
Well, you can just let them know that this is NFL
relevant.
He
wanted to take a picture of us kind of squaring off like they do before a big fight.
Right.
Probably shirtless and all oiled up and, you know, ready to, you know, square off and then put that up there and give like a constant update.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
I vetoed that. But we do have, you know, as most stadiums do in the league now, we do have fantasy updates throughout the game.
Right.
So yeah. I will be.
Well, and Kevin, you know, you have, I believe, your roster. You have Wes Welker and Aaron Hernandez.
Yes, which I'm very nervous about.
So if they score a touchdown on the Jumbotron,
I'll be doing cartwheels.
It should say, you know, show the highlight of Wes Welker scoring the replay and then say, in your face, Paul.
And then show me dancing next to him. Like,
and,
you know, doing my little touchdown dance.
60,000 people be completely clueless.
They'll be like, who the hell's that fat ball guy down there dancing?
That would be great.
But no, it's weird because the big rivalry for me was last week. So I almost feel like this could be a letdown week for me. So I got to be careful not to, you know, let my guard down here.
Do you want to look at his lineup real quick?
And by the way, guys, I'm a heavy underdog to win this thing. So it's been an improbable run. If I could cap it off, it would be epic. So,
well, I like your team here. I like your lineup, and you sent it over to us. You got Cam Newton, who Todd and I both love that matchup for the Panthers.
And like I said,
should be high scoring.
Like I said, he has Matt Ryan, so he's going to have to find someone else.
Okay. Now, at running back, you have Ray Rice, no Sean Moreno, and your flex is Steven Jackson. I agree, all those players should be in your lineup. And then at wide receiver, you got Wes Welker, Antonio Brown, Reggie Wayne, all very productive wide receivers. The only one that scares me just a bit is Antonio Brown. He's playing against Cleveland, and we know that game means nothing for the Steelers.
Yeah, he's had I looked at that too, Bill. He's had two good weeks the past 2 weeks. I think he's had 15-plus points.
Yes.
And I will point out that he is valuable in this league because he returns punts and punt yardage counts.
I love those leagues.
That's why I've been kind of riding him when he's healthy, just because it's a little extra bang for your buck there.
How about David Wilson? Do you get points for him returning kicks?
Yes, I do, yeah. So that's
I'm a little worried about Steven Jackson and his flex against Seattle.
Against Seattle, yeah.
Seattle?
I was thinking that possibly, depending on what David Wilson's role would be, putting him into the flex position because he does get that extra.
You know how many carries David Wilson had last week?
Like three, right?
Yeah, four carries.
But they were behind significantly, weren't they?
That game was terrible.
Yeah.
But if Ahmad Bradshaw doesn't play this week, and there's a chance he doesn't play, he's not practicing.
So if he doesn't play, I would definitely.
You have to put in David Wilson. Absolutely.
Yeah, so my plan was to hold Jackson in that spot until I realized if Bradshaw was going to play.
The first time the Rams and Seahawks played in St. Louis, Jackson had 67 total yards.
Not very good.
67.
Yeah. What do you guys think about what about Jordy? I mean, this news, if Cobb doesn't play, I think I have to consider trying to get him in there.
Yeah, that's another possibility. Because
he's banged up, I think, Cobb. I don't know. I mean,
he is banged
Nelson's
up. But you
been
know what?
So
Jordy Nelson's been banged up too, and he may be active and then come out on the
field. So I've been wrestling with all this. You know, that's why I wrote you guys the email during the show, is because it's like, do you dance with who brought you, and do you stick with, you know, the Steven Jacksons and the Antonio Browns and the Reggie Waynes, or do you try to switch it up?
I just hate his matchup.
Oh, I hate Jackson. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Hate his matchup. And I think that he had 67 yards last time.
Yeah.
That's the upside for him. Like, that's probably the best he can do.
Yeah.
And if you get a touchdown, then you're absolutely
you're
lucky.
Minted. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's the upside for a David Wilson. I mean, you have Jaquizz Rodgers. What do we think? Is Jaquizz Rodgers going to see more time?
I'm torn on that because, like, Jaquizz Rodgers gets so many carries to begin with. He might get rested, too. You know? I don't know. They got to play some running back, right? And I know Montario Hardesty looks like he's going to probably start this week, but that's just a crummy matchup.
Yeah. I'm not playing Montario Hardesty.
No, I got him just because I know that he's going to be the starting running back.
No,
so I wanted
move,
to give myself as many options as possible.
Bill, would you be concerned at all with Ray Rice in a meaningless, pretty much a meaningless game against the Bengals?
Bernard Pierce looked really good last week.
Yeah, he's scary. Takes all my carries.
It's a non-PPR league.
I think you got to play him, but I'm just saying I'd be worried about his upside this week.
This is why you can't have your championship a week 17.
I feel you, but this is the predicament that I'm in because I'm not the league manager. I don't make the rules. I got to play with the rules.
Well,
who is
league manager? Can't we get him on the air and kind of rip him a little bit?
We actually that's probably a good assignment. We're gonna have a show. We're gonna have Football Nation show on Tuesday, right?
Yes, next Tuesday. Yeah, Next Thursday.
So what are we doing on Tuesday? Are we doing anything?
Nothing.
Worse.
Nothing.
Getting over our hangover.
All right, so let's plan on trying to get him on the air next week at some point. I'll try to get him.
I mean,
so you guys
like
can
an articulate person. We can have a conversation.
Oh yeah, he's good. He's really a nice guy.
I mean, not like that matters because obviously I'm the host.
And you'll get a kick out of it because he has even more of a you guys, not so much you guys, but people sometimes on Patriots.com radio. Will get on me a little bit for the Boston brogue, if you will. And he's got a really, really thick Boston accent. So.
All right, that's great. So we'll get him on a little bit. We'll rip him next week. Hopefully you're the winner. Because if you're not the winner, then, you know, we're going to have to rip you and support
and
him.
He's actually, Nick, the guy who created the league, he's the only one pulling for Casey and the Sunshine Man. The whole league is against me. I can't find out why. But
oh, you're not playing the commissioner.
I am not playing him.
Oh, okay.
But he is rooting. He got, he made the semifinal. He was in the other side of the bracket last week.
Right.
And he lost to the guy that I'm playing, and so he really wants me to win. But I went down to the department headquarters the other day, and I all these people are telling me how they want me to lose. It was very distressing. I don't know why. I don't know what I did to these people.
All right,
you're not a very likable guy.
No, but I think it's because I was like, what was it? The Cardinals a couple years back. They were they 8-8 or something, and they went on a run.
Right.
I entered the playoffs as the sixth and final playoff seed. And won a tiebreaker with like three other teams because I had so many points. Mm-hmm. And my record in the regular season was 6-8, and I'm in the championship.
Hey, as long as
you
get
to
the dance.
I got hot.
That's all that matters.
But no, I appreciate the insight from you guys. And
listen, here's the thing. You got to play Ray Rice. It's the championship.
Okay.
Leave him in. He's your stud. You always start your studs, regardless of.
Well, that was in the Bible. I remember
that's
that.
That's right. Now, for your flex, again. We don't really like the matchup for Steven Jackson. He seems like your best option right now, except if Ahmad Bradshaw doesn't play, then you plug in David Wilson.
So what if Bradshaw plays, so that eliminates Wilson?
Right.
Would you be at all inclined to start a guy like Jordy Nelson or somebody like that?
I would rather see you start Jaquizz Rodgers over Jordy Nelson because maybe Michael Turner doesn't play a whole lot for the Falcons.
I can't imagine.
Maybe they rest him. Maybe they give the ball to Quiz a lot.
Yeah, I can't imagine Turner or Matt Ryan or, Julio Jones and I can't imagine all those guys are going to play.
And
very much
you say you get punt return yards. Maybe Quiz takes back a couple punts.
Does he return punts? Okay. So that's, it's a good...
I may actually lean over right now, lean Quiz over S-Jax.
Okay, I like that.
That's the only difference. That would be the only change I would suggest right now for your squad.
All
looks
right.
great. Looks great. Definitely championship worthy, in my opinion.
All right.
Hernandez was banged up earlier in the season. No Sean Moreno came out of nowhere. Cam Newton started off slow. So, obviously your team struggled in the beginning. But you know what? It's hot right now, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, and I survived somehow, Bill. Getting 1 point out of Hernandez last week.
Yeah.
And who I was probably banking on, like 15 or so with the matchup.
Yeah.
And it just didn't pan out. But that Bears defense, I'm telling you, thank God.
Who does your opponent have? Does he have – who's his stud other than Matt Ryan?
He's got Ryan. He's got the Baxter where he focused his draft on. He's got Arian Foster and Marshawn Lynch.
Well, I'll tell you what. Foster screwed him last week, and he might do the same again this week.
Well, he's supposed to play.
Yeah, but again, what about you guys are advocates of resting your starters. You don't think they're going to want to rest Arian Foster?
No, I think they're playing for their lives. They have to win. I mean, I think
guys, if they lose, the
Patriots have to win too. But you said that they should rest their starters in the second half of the game if it's a blowout. So if the Houston Texans are blowing out,
yeah, but the Texans
the
play
Colts,
first, don't they?
Yeah, they play first.
So the Texans, like, it's even. I just think it's more important. It's a different situation. I think yeah. Arian, I think Arian, as long as, you know, God willing, his heart's okay, that he'll play.
All right.
But so I'm worried about Foster and Lynch. He's got.
Does he have anybody on Dallas or Washington?
Let me see, you have to worry about
in that last game.
You got Dan Bailey. That's good.
I've got the kicker. So if it was a close game, I at least have the kicker. He has nobody from Dallas or Washington.
Okay. So that's in your back pocket.
Yeah, his defense scares me too. He's got the Seahawks D, hosting St. Louis.
Yeah, that's scary.
He's got Matt Bryant, who I think, you know, I can't see the Falcons scoring a ton of points because they're going to be resting a lot of people. He's got McFadden, who I'm not really worried about.
I'd be worried about him.
I'm not really worried. I'm more worried about Foster and Lynch.
Nah, dude. McFadden's going to be the guy that burns you.
Really?
Yeah. Playing against the Chargers. Sure.
Has he done it? Oh, he had like 4 points last week.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. He's to me this year, he seems like he's been kind of a bust.
He's been a huge bust.
Yeah.
He has been. But his only good game of the year probably came against the Chargers back in week one.
He had 13 catches. Yeah, he had. Oh, that was right. But luckily, it's not a PPR league.
Oh, okay.
And doesn't.
No, I'm not that worried about him.
And don't they have? They had. What was it? Palmer was hurt. Who the heck did they have starting a quarterback last week?
Matt Leinart.
So, like, you know, if you have Matt Leinart as your quarterback,
Todd loves that.
they're probably going to be taking away the run, I would think, and trying to force him to throw the ball.
See.
So we'll see.
Chargers. The only thing the Chargers are taking away this weekend is North Turner's job.
But no, he's got a good team. If I can get Matt Ryan out of there, that'd help. He's got Foster and Lynch. For his wide receivers, he's got Steve Smith, Demaryius Thomas, who scares me, Greg Jennings. His tight end is Martellus Bennett. His flex is McFadden, and his defense is Seattle, and his kicker is Matt Ryan.
Well, the thing that can save you is Matt Ryan not playing the whole game.
I tend to think he might not even play at all.
He's going to play a little bit.
Does he have a backup quarterback yet?
Let me see here.
Pick him up. Pick up all the possible backups, dude.
Yeah.
He's got
play defense. Yeah. Drop Montario Hardesty.
He's got Jay Cutler and Big Ben.
Well, I guess he's not going to quite pick anyone up. All right. You're going to win. I have confidence.
I have faith. I like my team.
Worst case scenario, though, Cam Newton throws all the touchdown passes to Steve Smith.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true.
Or just runs them all in himself.
But this league is weird, though. So Steve Smith, when I saw this, guys, when you're looking at it from an outside perspective, you'd be concerned because if Cam Newton is throwing touchdown passes to Steve Smith, you'd think, oh, I'm losing that trade. But in this league, the quarterback gets 6 points for a passing touchdown, which is the same as what the receiver gets.
Good.
It's just the yards that would be a little askew. And that's not going to be a huge thing, you know?
No, so. that's all right.
So, yeah, and combined with the fact that Cam runs the ball a decent amount and you get a point for every 10 yards rushing for a quarterback, I mean, it kind of, like, offsets it, you know?
Right.
But we'll see. It's going to be a nail-biter. I'm going to be so I will be able to watch most of the 1 o'clock games here in the studio getting ready for the Patriots game. So I'll have a good idea by the time, you know, we head out onto the field for our game as to where I stand. My opponent has 1, 2, 3. He has 4 players that are going to play in that 4 o'clock wave. I have 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 that are playing at 4 o'clock and 1 at 8, which is my kicker. So it's going to be a pretty, you know, pretty much half the battle will be over before that 4 o'clock wave. So we'll see.
All right. We've helped you out enough.
That's fair. If you get any pearls of wisdom that come to you in the next couple days, feel free to let me know.
You need to keep a close eye on what the Falcons are doing with Quiz Rogers and what the Giants are doing with David Wilson.
That's it.
You need to keep a close eye on that in the next couple days, and that could change.
And if I win all this money, then I can actually afford to buy Todd the beer that I owe him for losing the bet. You know?
Yeah.
So
It's really important.
The bet. That's right. The bet. We didn't talk about that last week, did we?
No. We
weren't
on.
Conveniently.
Were we on last week?
Hey, I fessed up to it, Todd. I think we were talking on Skype or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I won the bet.
I'm not ashamed. You won. Fair and square.
Bills lost. We made 2 big bets this year, and Bills lost them both.
It came down to the wire, but it is what it is.
Mm.
It
we have time to help out Higgins.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, help him out.
Our friend Higgins, poor guy. You know, he's listened to the show all year. He's in the Super Bowl, and we spend the entire segment on Kevin's team. Kevin can talk to us anytime he wants.
That's true. I just choose not to, I guess. That was a good one.
All right, listen.
Good
Higgins
comeback.
Is in a,
it was a good
Higgins
comeback.
Is in a two-game finale, down 20 points. He needs one wide receiver, Todd, from these five. I already know who I'm going to say. Greg Jennings, Denario Alexander, Randy Moss, Brandon Lloyd, Santana Moss. Who do you got?
Oh, man.
Jennings, Alexander, Moss,
who
Lloyd.
You already have it figured out, so who do you
got? Denario Alexander. Start him against the Raiders. They're absolutely terrible.
Can't trust Jennings. Can't trust Moss. Lloyd. Can't trust Danny
or Santana.
Moss. Yeah, I say it's Denario or Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably go Denario. I think Denario has more upside.
Now, he needs two of these running backs, and they're absolutely terrible. Darren McFadden, Ryan Grant, Montel Owens, Montario Hardesty.
McFadden and Grant.
McFadden and Grant. No-brainer, right?
I think so, yeah.
All right. So there it is, Higgins. You go with McFadden, Ryan Grant, and Denario Alexander, and you'll also win your championship like our producer, Kevin.
Or he can. The other thing he can do is he can start one of those running backs and two of the receivers.
I really don't like his receivers at all.
Man, I kind of agree.
I mean, maybe you want to play Brandon Lloyd. Maybe. Over Ryan Grant. But I wouldn't do that.
He's down 20 points. He's down 20 points. It's a two-game finale. Denario Alexander is definitely the play. He's the high upside guy there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I go McFadden and Grant.
Yeah, there you go.
Good luck, Higgins.
Good luck, Higgins. We love you. Good job with the championship. See, he should have Doug Martin on this team, but he traded them away. Remember that?
Yeah. I do remember that.
Apparently. All right, what can I say? We didn't get to the Football Nation Power Rankings, but that's all right. We instead helped out our producer, Kevin, with his fantasy team.
And I appreciate
it. We want to help him win the championship because a happy producer is a happy host. It makes for a happy host. So if you're happy, that means we have a
good team. We're
all happy. That's right. That's the most important.
I will say this. Bill did the top 10 and the bottom 5, and he has the Broncos number 1.
Really?
That was yeah, what do you think about that?
Debate. Hot takes. I don't mind it.
49ers are 2, Patriots are 3.
I don't mind it.
Seattle, 8.
Yeah, you wow. and Byrne are going to have a fist fight over that.
Wow.
I don't know, guys.
He's not sold.
I like them when they play in Seattle, but I don't like them when they play anywhere else.
Bill's
well,
not sold.
Certainly better than the Ravens that you have number 7.
I don't know, man. Ravens looked mighty good against the Giants last week. Joe Flacco was dropping dimes on that field. Like, he looked like Joe Montana. Forget Joe Flacco.
Joe Montana.
He looked like Joe Montana. Looked phenomenal. Ravens
I don't
could
know.
Get hot.
The Ravens, they could get hot, but they
Ravens could get hot.
They've been,
watch
in a
out,
bad,
guys.
They've been in a bad place the last month, though.
It's the game of the year is Broncos, Patriots in Mile High in a couple weeks. And whoever wins that
to
goes to
that.
The Super Bowl. It's very
AFC
obvious.
Champion.
Yeah, I want to see that, too, so I can.
That's what's happening. That's right, the AFC championship game, even if it's played the week before it.
Last week of the regular season, week 17.
Okay.
Forget about this weekend's games. They all stink. We don't care anyway.
Yep.
AFC, NFC championship, go. Todd, you said Broncos, Patriots, and AFC. Who you got in the NFC?
Yeah, but it won't happen in the championship game. But that's
oh, they can't meet?
I'm predicting it won't happen.
What does that mean?
The way that it's set up now, the two will play the three as long as the Texans win. I don't know. Whatever. The winner of that game is going to the Super Bowl. Let's just call it that. De facto AFC championship. I have the Packers. I'm going to stick to my preseason prediction. I have the Packers winning. I really want to say Seattle, but I'll go Falcons. The Packers go into the dome and put up 40 on the Falcons.
Interesting.
Kevin, you want to chime in here?
I'm going to go Patriots, Texans in the AFC title game. Mm. And I'm going to stick to Packers, Niners in the NFC title game.
Niners don't scare me at all. All right, AFC. Now, you're telling me that the Patriots and the Broncos can't play each other in the AFC championship game?
No, they could if a lot of things happen. But
just according to what we predict, we think that the seedings will shake out in a way that they're going to meet in the divisional round.
The divisional round, yeah.
All right, so then I'll go with the Patriots and the Ravens.
Okay.
And then
so that game would be in New England.
Yeah, that game would be in New England. And then I think for the NFC, I think it's going to be the Packers and the Redskins.
Wow, I like it. Bold prediction.
Yeah.
Write it down, Todd. Write it down.
Watch out
for the
Redskins.
Redskins now.
Redskins are cursed.
Bill,
all right.
All right, I got a little ditty for Bill to wrap this thing up with.
Right, what do you got? Oh, a little Puff Daddy. All right.
No, it's not Puff Daddy. Yeah, it's from Miami, man.
Oh, from Miami, right.
Little theme music.
All right.
I can just see Bill with his aviator shades just, you know, bouncing this.
This is Eva Mendes was in this video, if you remember, before her Hollywood acting career took off. She was in the convertible next to Will Smith, and she goes, "Oh, bienvenidos, I'm Miami, whatever she said. She said that, yes. All right, last-minute thoughts or last-minute words, a sentence. Todd, what do you got?
Happy New Year to everyone out there.
Oh, that's right.
Next time we're on the air.
Yeah, we'll see you next year.
Yeah, we'll see you next year.
All our listeners next year.
All right, Kevin.
We're KC and the Brokeback Band are number one.
Best of luck to you, Kevin, in your fantasy football championship. And anyone else out there listening that's also competing in Week 17, it's good enough for this year. You made the championship. Congratulations. But next year, you got to change it to Week 16. Enjoy the rest of the NFL regular season. Last time you'll see the Jets until 2013. That's always a good thing. Happy New Year, as Todd said, and thank you for listening to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio.
Welcome to Miami.
Oh, I heard the rainstorms ain't nothing to mess with, but I can't feel a drip on the strip. It's a trip. Ladies have dressed fully equipped, and they be screaming out,
"Will we love to last here?"
So I'm thinking I'ma scoop me something hot in this summer rain game.